I've got to say, I was absolutely honoured to be invited and to sit amongst some of the greatest minds, constitutionally and otherwise, in this country. And tonight, I'm joined by three of the people that were there. Two of these folks organised the weekend and put it together. The other one, you will be very familiar with if you've been playing in the Commonwealth Fields in New South Wales for a little while. I'm sure when I mention the name Mona, everybody will say, "Hey, it's Mona!" Because she's wonderful. And, of course, we're joined by Peter and Donna as well from the Corruption Whistleblower. Thank you guys for coming on, joining us tonight, and thank you for the weekend. I know the boys who hosted us are sitting around you there somewhere.
Thanks, pal.
I want to thank them for the weekend as well.
Yeah.
We had an amazing time, and it was such a learning experience. I feel honoured to have been invited to attend. Thank you very much. And tonight we're going to share a little bit. We did discuss a lot, and we will share a lot more, but we're going to share this in chunks, really, aren't we, tonight? And we're going to talk grand jury indictments. What is a grand jury? What is an indictment? And how the hell is it going to help us in any way? Who wants to start? Peter?
Yeah, right, I'll start. Yeah, so a grand jury indictment is our peers all getting together to see if there is enough evidence to make an indictment or create a criminal charge for a trial.
What do you say to people who say, oh, it's an American thing?
No, that's not true. It's a grand jury of our peers. Anybody can hold a grand jury. It's we, the people. And because of the problem we've got at the moment is we have no valid courts whatsoever. They're all, the whole lot of the seals are fraudulent. They're outside of referendum consent. So that's why we can't get justice in any of our courts. And many Australians will agree with that. The ones that don't realise how bad it is are the ones that haven't been into our court system. It's totally unjust.
Yeah, I think it's pretty widely known now that you only get perceived justice if you've got enough money to get into the court system prepared to fight it to the very bitter end. And even then, by the time you do, the money's gone. The lawyers and the judges have it regardless. So there is no true justice in the system, 100% right. And it has been corrupted. And as I mentioned, edition one of the Corruption Whistleblower outlines in great, exquisite detail that's very easy for people to understand exactly how the fraud was perpetrated against us. Thank you, Donna. Yeah. Exactly how the fraud was perpetrated against us. So the purpose of the weekend, Donna, would you like to explain what was the purpose of the weekend we've just experienced together?
So, yeah, we're probably not going to speak too much about that because it's all done with now. So we had a lovely chance just to get together and have a chat about pathways to move forward, which was already happening anyhow. So we're already having the 8th of February down at Canberra. We've nominated the Magna Carta place to basically have a picnic, a grand jury indictment picnic from 12 noon onwards. So, yeah, come along and join us. We're going to have a picnic and just catch up with some friends and see if you will require a grand jury indictment on the Australian government and the officiatum related to that. So what we've done now, we're just finishing off a flyer. Of course, we were the ones that were originally with the Freedom Rally that was going to happen over the Renewable Energy Farmers Freedom Rally. So we were going to tag on the back end of that, but they've pulled the pin on that rally. And we have continued on. We haven't stopped at all. We've continued on, you know, and developed some really good ideas that can help this nation. Yeah, pull its nose up before we just crash and burn.
100%. And to that end, the minds that were brought together over the weekend all had an opportunity without ego, can I say, without ego entering the room in any way, shape or form. It was wonderful. Have all had a way to form, in fact, what we're going to speak about tonight. And Mona, you guys have been working feverishly, I guess, for the last 24 or 48 hours on the document that we're about to put up. Now, would you like to explain what we're going to do, how we're going to talk people through this?
So, good evening, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. And I'm grateful and thankful to be part of this show and these two beautiful men and woman. So where are we going to talk about? And as most of you know me, we've been serving fiduciary duty letters pretty much 1.5 years now. And especially last year in 2023, when we really went hard on the fiduciary duty letters all around basically New South Wales, Queensland and in Victoria and some other states as well, especially New South Wales. And some of you know me, some of you not. Basically, we started in the Supreme Court of New South Wales. I had actually a positive experience. So we know the justice system as of 14 of February 1966 operates as a de facto governmental agency that basically is there are unelected judges and unelected magistrates. So there is no competent jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Now, well, yes, and we know that they are operating as a foreign corporation. But in the meantime, they're acting as a public servant. Now, as a public servant, they got fiduciary duty and fiduciary responsibility as we are the single shareholder under the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act 1900, UK. And that's what I've basically been using. And I had a positive, great experience in two courts, actually, in New South Wales, the local court of New South Wales. I actually had it in family court as well. As a court observer and in the Supreme Court of New South Wales, when we used basically very basic fiduciary duty letter, and Justice Coons, which I'm going to mention his name, because with all due respect for that justice in the Supreme Court of New South Wales, who fully comprehended his fiduciary duty and fiduciary responsibility. All the way from the beginning till the end, he was impartial. He basically operated under consent and he made sure that there will be fair justice. This was the first time, and I've had a couple of court observers with us who were actually with us in the court. I was as a Mackenzie friend, and that's basically last year I learned that in a positive way, yes, the fiduciary duty letter does work. There are public servants who are actually comprehending it, and they're accepting it, and they know it. Of course, there is some, you know, I can tell you, I can name and shame right now here if you wish to do so, in the local court of New South Wales, which is my experience. I do have evidence, so it's not a defamation of character or anything like that. And I can tell you lawyers as well, who actually, they breached their fiduciary duty big time, okay? So that's registrars, and which I can go maybe later another time, I can go more into that yeah. Yes, the system is very corrupted, unfortunately, and we got a fiduciary duty as a man and woman that we need to inform the public servants that he are to serve us, right? You're making the money because of us. It all goes back to the birth certificate. So you are owning a fiduciary duty and fiduciary responsibility for the public, for the people, yeah, public and the people, we the people, to look after us. Okay, and this is that simple. We're not coming here to cause any harm, loss, or damage. We just want you to do your job properly. We are happy that where you are, just do your job properly. That's all. We're not coming here to do any dramas or anything like that, right? We're just here to basically inform you, and we got a duty to basically make sure that every single public servant in this country is going to do their job under fiduciary duty and under fiduciary responsibility. Every single public servant.
So what that means, it's in the document. People go, oh, what's fiduciary duty mean? Yeah, everyone's asking that. That's great, because we're going to outline it in the document that we're going to go through tonight and show you amazingly what it is. So once we hold them to task to this, we can say, oh, they have breached their fiduciary duty. But we have to show them what it is first, and we have to become aware of what it is first as well, so we all know what we're talking about and we all know how they've breached it. And then we can create the indictment. That's how it relates to the grand jury indictment. If we find they've breached this, there's another thing we can indict them on. So it's getting that evidence, you know. So it's a matter of people stepping up and doing this. So, yeah, we're getting some yeses in the comments. I can see that. Thank you. That's great. Yeah. So we'll have a document and we'll have a read through it. It's very important. Don't think that we have to rush. Like, you know, it really has taken all weekend to construct the document and the pathway. This is not a simple matter. It's quite a complex, multiple steps matter. And this is one of the first steps that is vital that we do, so that we can breach them on as this notice of fiduciary duty goes to them, we can then breach them on the not fulfilling their judiciary duty. And we actually have a duty, we have a fiduciary duty as well, to inform them what they're doing. So we're all doing our job.
to begin at the top of the document, this is a submittable document that we're showing folks. So these are the people who have been noticed, if you like, on this particular document.
And what we've done for everyone, I'll just say, because you said this is a submittable one, that's right. This is the one that the people fill in. And we're going to also put available one that's complete and just show you how, you know, if you want to write like upper and lower case and what you want to, how to autograph your name and just the idea of all that kind of stuff. We will have a completed one. We're just going to, you know, bang these out over the next few days because it's every 72 hours and Mona will run through that. They need to be served every three days, every 72 hours for four sessions, four times. And that really stitches up. So, and it is that is outlined on the document. So, you know, it just starts as a normal document. You can take it from the top if you want.
I just saw a comment, Mark Willen. Look, you might be targeted. In end of the day, and this is what I'm going to suggest, and again, everyone does whatever you want to do, guys. I done my petition of right back 2021. They tried to put me, you know, in mental health and jail and all that stuff, you know, the usual stuff. After I done my petition of right, they never tried to do this kind of stuff. They know because I got a prima facie evidence. I got a forensic document. It's a 14th of February, 1966. This whole governmental system is operating a de facto. Mm. And this is this is one of the main reason it's very peaceful because in end of the day, if they're operating as a public servant, it's no matter what. And I had numerous public servants from ATO, from New South Wales government, from Victoria government, from Queensland government, all different type of public servant. They admitted that they are owning a duty of care, which is part of the fiduciary duty. And numerous public servants, even when I talk to them over the phone, they know what is fiduciary duty. So this is the one of the most simple document that I've in the last 5 years. I would say it's one of the most simple, the most easiest. And just remember, we got a duty. We haven't done making them accountable as of 1966, thanks for COVID, right? A lot of men and women is actually waking up. And basically, we know they don't have authority, and I agree with that, whatever you were commenting at, because they're operating as a foreign agency. I do have evidence about that one. They registered in America with CEIK numbers, especially for New South Wales. I got a 9-page document. Anyone want it, you know, I'm probably going to send it to you, Carl, and you can upload it to your website, that they are actually operating as a registered Crown & Right New South Wales and the New South Wales Treasury Corporation in America, registered with the CIK numbers, Sullivan with Cromwell from New South Wales, Sydney, basically sent a letter back in 11 September 2009. So that's already, you know, a huge evidence. Plus, if you go to the security exchange, you can see.
We got it in the first edition.
Yes, the Australian decimal currency, the metric measurements, the de facto governmental agencies been operating unlawfully as of 14th of February 1966. We never had the referendum. Anyone who's done the petition of right, that's your prima facie evidence, that's your forensic document, that this so-called de facto governmental agency is operating unlawfully and whatever they're doing, it's treason against us. Now, let's just stay in honor, okay? So let's just say, okay, we accept that you are a public servant, okay? Now, that's fine. We give you the respect. Please give us respect and do your job under fiduciary duty if you wish to be a public servant. If you don't wish to be a public servant, then you can be the corporation. Then you need to provide the web ink signature. Then you need to provide the ASIC forms 402, 403, 404, 405, 4184, and the forum registration statement, which is 7 pages instrument. Okay, so we can go in both ways. No worries. Choose your battles. Which one would you like? So we give you the choice. That's fine, you know? So it's all good. It's a very, very, very simple document, okay? Everyone can comprehend it. You know what is duty of care. You know what is duty of loyalty, integrity,
confidentiality.
So it's simple. You cannot go any more simple. Now, basically, notice to the agents, notice to the principal, notice to the principal, notice to the agent. That's how we serve the instrument. And this is not private. It's public and it's transparent, of open. And it's basically to inclusive all her successors. So what's happened? If any of these public servant, whatever named here, done here, and they decide to leave, the next one who comes in is going to apply to them as well. Okay. Now, the file number... The file number, it's basically, it's going to be your initial. So just example, like my name, the name which I use, it's Mona Pamela. It's going to be MP, okay, your file number, and the date. So you're going to choose, like example, if you're sending out today, it's going to be 20/01/2025. So it's going to be MP 20, like today's date, 20/01/2025. Okay, and that's going to be your file number. Remember, okay, just in case later on, if you are in court and you want to subpoena this document, okay, you can actually subpoena. This is your own document. And we're going to go through how many times you're going to send it out and so on and so on. It's always good to have your own instruments, documents. So I like to use instruments because documents is legalese. Instruments is more lawful way. So we're dealing with legal and lawful. I prefer always use the plain, simple English, keep it simple as much as possible and spiritual. And this is called the Notice of Fiduciary Duty to All Proclaimed Public Servants who are financed, employed by the Australian government in all capital capacities. And this is, we're talking about the Australian government. Yes, I know it's de facto Australian government. So 14th of February, 1966, I'm fully aware of that. I am holding the prima facie evidence. Okay, so I just want to let you know, all right? Anyway, they're issuing all fake warrants and they try to arrest you and contempt of court and et cetera, right? It's all unlawful, right? They try to put you on the mental hearse because you write an affidavit example, right? And you don't have maybe either strong standing or...
That's right. Yeah. See, we didn't elect these people in a nutshell. Yes. That's exactly
right. That's right. They've all been selected. There is no election. There is only selection. Yeah. Okay? Now, electoral law, that's another thing. Again, if you've done your petition of right, you can get off in another way as well. All right, let's keep going. To all receivers and respondents, just would like to let you know we haven't finished this one completely. We're still going to update some more details all around the states in the Commonwealth of Australia. And we started basically with the High Commissioner of the Human Rights of the United Nations. Yes, I know the charity. Yes, but they still got a fiduciary duty. The International Court of Justice system. Yes, I know they're not the lawful court because the only lawful court we got is would be the probate court. And that would be equity jurisdiction. When you walk in as a man and woman, not Mr. and Mrs. and whatever you want to call it. All right. You walk in as a man or woman. Now, keep going further. Stephen Kennedy, he's the Secretary of Treasury. Obviously, he's owning fiduciary duty when we go and dealing with courts, especially their state, administering their state and so on and so on. Keep going forward. We got the Chief Financial Executive Officer, sorry, in Australian Financial Security. This is basically the, one of the agencies who are doing bankruptcy. They all unlawfully. We got the Human Rights Commissioner. Now, a little bit of information. As of last year, and I know a couple of people, a couple of men and women behind it, the Attorney General has been expanding Australia one. Mark Dreyfus, who is the Attorney General of Australia, as we currently speak, he's been expanding his office. And we just got it the 2nd of December, 2024. Chris Evans, who is the Anti-Slavery Commissioner, it's going to be somewhere here. We got Nicole Yakesh, who is the Shadow Attorney General. We got Human Rights Commissioner Lauren Finlay. She's, I think she's been replaced sometimes in 2023 in November. Then we keep going. We got Penny Wong, okay, Australian Minister for Foreign Affairs. Now it's time to either change, it'll give you four chances with this fiduciary duty letter, or otherwise there will be further action taken, okay? Remember, we have the biggest problem in the courts because they just keep pushing slavery, course, identity theft, they're pushing the personage, the barratry. And another thing, we got the lawyers, mainly the lawyers are pushing it. And this is one of the reasons. And I know judges, I know magistrates who are actually waiting for you guys to put them on fiduciary duty and make them to do their job under fiduciary duty because they cannot have conflict of interest, okay? There are people who are waiting for us and they want us to keep making them accountable. I had public servants told me just down in the bottom, I'm just following orders and up in the top who are responsible what's happening. Okay. So these public servants are admitting it. I talk to sheriff, I talk to police, I talk to in the courts, you know, and I met with a lot of beautiful public servants who know they're dirty, but they're all up in the top. So you need to, that's the one
and
of the reasons.
They lose their job if they did anything.
Oh, if you don't do it, you might going to lose your job. Exactly. Yeah. Or God knows what's going to happen. This is simple. You're coming in pace. You're not pushing them. Okay. You just want them to do their job. That's it. We're not asking anything else, right? The justices, like the Supreme Court justices, the chief magistrate, all the states, high court, okay, because the high court as well is responsible, the family court. Mm. I haven't put the family courts, but they will be put
as
well.
We will be putting them
there. Because the family courts are the most corrupted courts, and plus the probate courts, if they're dealing with the deceased estate as well. Okay, I've seen it again. So I've seen a lot of corruption, guys. I never thought, being Hungarian and born in Romania, I've seen a lot of corruption from the bottom till the top. I've seen envelopes, okay. I lived in communist for 10 years, so if I've seen corruption, but I have to tell you one thing, I see more corruption here. Now, they want us to be the person, the system, because it's everything is that they can see the paper. They cannot see the living man and the living woman, be the people. But they got a fiduciary duty to act in the best interest of us. You have to put your the full name. Now, we're going to have an example, which I sent you as well before, that, again, you have to do not put all caps, please, because that's the deceased estate. So anytime you use the all caps name, that's the deceased estate. If you use how we put it up, like, you know, capital J, then you John, all small caps, then you put James with the capital J and the rest is small, then you put S with
upper lowercase.
Usually this is the bond servant. Okay, if you look up the judicial notice. With
their duties, they're really basic duties, which is what Mona keeps saying. So we're holding all public servants, because this covers all the public servants, is not limited to a range of ethical and legal and lawful, their responsibilities. So this is what we're saying, that we are holding them accountable for this. So the first one, of course, is duty of care. All public servants are expected to perform your duties in a lawful, legal manner with due diligence, competence and prudence, such as making well-informed and lawful decisions based on careful consideration for all relevant information and potential impacts. And for example, you know, that is abuse of power using judicial office for personal gain, or to favour certain parties. So we give them an example of what would be a breach of that duty of care. And you know, we're putting our names to these each individual. And number two is their duty of loyalty. So all public servants must prioritise we, the people, but you say we and then you put your name there. The benefit, and we are the beneficiary and creditor. They must prioritise our interests above, we're talking to them, so we do it in that first person, above your private, personal and private interests, performing diligently and upholding loyalty to the people and our interests. So we require a certain amount of loyalty to us.
So all public servants must conduct themselves with honesty and integrity, avoiding any behaviour that might undermine we, your full name. Again, you decide how you want to write it. As I mentioned, that's how I write it with all small caps, because that's the free woman. The beneficiary creditors, confidence. All public servants must conduct themselves in a manner to prevent any possible corrupt practices, such as possible forgeries, default judgments, example, not signing the document, bogus court orders, possible fraud and any possible form of potential unethical conduct. If you as a receiver respondents are in knowledge of any crimes, misconduct, malfeasance, again, this that's when they put them actually, when you put them on fiduciary duty, right, and they still commit misconduct and malfeasance for the personal gain, like example, they rule against you in the court without evidence, because there is no material evidence most of the times. The brief of evidence is not the full unredacted evidence, okay? Mm. It's all fabricated, manipulated, and they actually charging the estate. They're not charging the woman or the man, because they don't have authority anyway. They're dealing with the deceased that estate, and this is one of the reasons I was mentioning about the probate court. The only court we can go, that's the probate court, Supreme Court, and that's equity jurisdiction. It is legal, lawful, duty to report all events to the Australian Federal Police, Anti-Corruption Academy email, where the email address is there, and the Corruption Whistleblower. Just remember, we do have the Anti-Corruption Academy Facebook group, and I strongly suggest you join to the Anti-Corruption Academy and do your petition of right. If you do have this kind of fear or feeling, okay, it's definitely, it's a great protection. Okay, we got men and women who's been breaching bail conditions because you're traveling without license and registration, and they stop you and bail conditions, six-time breach, and they try to jail you. They cannot do it, okay? This guy's got the petition of right. The another one is the Corruption Whistleblower newspaper email address, okay, info@corruptionwhistleblower.com. I strongly suggest you to report them all, okay, email and to the AFP as well. And AFP is going to be on fiduciary duty as well. They are owning fiduciary duty for us as a public servant to do their job accordingly. Again, I strongly suggest you, anytime you're dealing with any public servant, every time and every single time, have one fiduciary duty letter and hand it to them. Give it to them with love and just keep going every single time. There is no day that I don't use the fiduciary duty letter. I can tell you that.
Okay? I can tell you, Kirk, that's not possible at all, okay? That's already been dealt with.
Yes, yes. And they're very aware. There's a lot of public servants are aware of that, okay? A lot of men and women been using the fiduciary duty already all around the country, okay?